for only the third time in its 36-year history. A Manitoba entrepreneur will be the recipient of the University of Manitoba's International Distinguished Entrepreneur Award, or IDEA. Winnipeg business and community leader Hartley T. Richardson has been announced as the recipient of the 2019 International Distinguished Entrepreneur Award. He is the third Manitoban to receive this award, alongside Israel Asper and Albert Cohen, who forged their successes while living here in Manitoba. We are honored to be presenting Hartley Richardson with IDEA, as he is a living testament of what IDEA honors every year, says Arnie Thorstensen, chair of the IDEA committee and president of Shelter Canadian Properties Limited. His philanthropic nature, unparalleled leadership, and dedication to the Manitoban and Canadian business and service industries sets an example to all of us. Hartley Richardson attended the University of Manitoba and received his Bachelor of Commerce honors in 1977. He is the seventh family president of James Richardson & Sons Limited, one of Canada's largest private, family-owned corporations. Founded in 1857 and headquartered in Winnipeg, the firm has expanded and developed into an international multi-enterprise with current operations and interests in agribusiness and food processing, oil and gas exploration and marketing, real estate, insurance, and financial services. Hartley Richardson received an honorary Doctor of Laws from both the University of Manitoba in 2004 and the University of Winnipeg in 2012. He was appointed to the Order of Manitoba in 2008 and also appointed a member of the Order of Canada in 2007, promoted to an officer within the Order of Canada in 2013. Mr. Richardson currently serves as chair of the Assiniboine Park Conservancy and co-chair of the Trans-Canada Trail Foundation. He is past chairman of both the Business Council of Canada and Business Council of Manitoba. Through his leadership in business, service to the community, and philanthropy, Hartley Richardson has demonstrated his commitment to the people of Manitoba and Canada and to their social, cultural, and economic well-being, says University of Manitoba President and Vice Chancellor David Barnard. Since 1984, the University of Manitoba and its associates of the Asper School of Business have presented the International Distinguished Entrepreneur Award to outstanding entrepreneurs who have made an exemplary contribution to global economic life. Hartley Richardson joins past Distinguished IDEA recipients including Sir Richard Branson, Stu Clark, Paul Desmarais, Sr., David Foster, A. Linda Hassenfratz, Akio Morita, Ross Perot, Heather Reisman, and Gerald Schwartz, Dame Anita Roddick, David Thompson, Prem Watsa, and last year's recipient, Ariana Huffington. We proudly partner with the University of Manitoba Business School Foundation and the Asper School of Business year after year because of the extraordinary role they play in inspiring excellence, shared Kim Ulmer, RBC Regional President. As a natural extension of our collaboration, we support the IDEA Gala each year because it honors role models who choose to lead an extraordinary life of service. We are delighted to acknowledge next year's honoree, Winnipeg's own Hartley Richardson, an ambassador for our province who exemplifies a tremendous entrepreneurial and giving spirit through his many business and charitable endeavors. Dr. Gady Jacoby, Dean and CPA Manitoba Chair in Business Leadership, Asper School of Business, noted, "We are delighted and honored to add to Mr. Richardson's already long list of accolades. His endeavors in philanthropy and in the business community in Canada make him a very worthy recipient of this award. I am deeply honored to have been acknowledged as the 2019 IDEA recipient," expressed Hartley Richardson. "As a proud University of Manitoba alum, being recognized by my alma mater and joining the prestigious group of past IDEA recipients represents a high watermark in my career." Hartley Richardson will be presented with the award at the 2019 IDEA Dinner on May 23, 2019, in Winnipeg at the RBC Convention Center. The late Israel Izzy Asper was as well known for his business savvy and philanthropy as he was for his straight talk. So when the visionary media tycoon established the Asper Foundation in 1983, he wasted no time sugarcoating his expectations of the family's charitable organizations to his children, David, Gail, and Leonard. "Fight all you like about business," he said, "but what will keep you together as a family is that you'll have the Asper Foundation, which will give you the opportunity to do something useful with your lives." As the foundation celebrated its 35th anniversary this past Saturday, it is undeniable that the Aspers, along with the family friend and executive director, Mo Levy, have taken Izzy's words to heart. The Asper Foundation is behind some of the most world-renowned human rights projects, including the Canadian Museum for Human Rights and the Holocaust Studies Program at Yad Vashem's International School for Holocaust Studies in Israel. Locally, Winnipeg's science, education, and arts communities have benefited greatly from initiatives like the IH Asper Clinical Research Institute, the Asper Jewish Community Campus, and the Lyric Theater at Assiniboine Park. In 2000, the Jewish Foundation of Manitoba and the Winnipeg Foundation reached received, $10 million each from the ASPRs, greatly expanding the collective reach of philanthropy in the province. Here at the University of Manitoba, the ASPR family has collectively contributed over $17.5 million, which continues to directly impact students, staff, and faculty in 9 faculties and all 3 colleges. Most prominent, perhaps, is the IH ASPR School of Business, which continually ranks among the best in Canada and includes the ASPR Chair in International Business and Trade Law and the Stu Clark Center for Entrepreneurship, formerly the ASPR Center for Entrepreneurship. Music and the arts are also closely linked to the ASPRs. Gail herself performed in multiple productions from the Black Hole Theatre Company during her student days, and just last fall, she and husband Michael unveiled the Gail ASPR Performing Arts Hall in the newly renovated Taché Arts Complex. Decades earlier, the ASPRs also funded a professorship, instruments, programming, and student awards for the Desautels Faculty of Music's jazz program. David, a lifelong football fan, is also a decades-long supporter of U of M athletics, which includes a bursary for Bison football and the Ruth Asper Scholarships in Physical Education and Kinesiology. In 2013, the university opened the David Asper University of Manitoba Bison Football Center at Investors Group Field to recognize the commitment to Bison athletes. There are also the lesser-known gifts. In 2011, to help digitize the Manitoban. In 2018, to a teaching fellowship in Judaic Studies that revealed the depth and breadth of the ASPR Foundation's contributions to the university. The university is immensely fortunate to have such a strong relationship with the ASPR family and to have benefited from their generosity over these past 3 decades across numerous capital campaigns and campus initiatives, says the U of M President and Vice Chancellor David Barnard. Their enthusiasm for the continued success of our students, staff, and faculty is evident from every conversation and campus visit. The University of Manitoba occupies a special place in their lives, as they do in ours. Among feather and flower decals on windows on campus, written messages stand bold and clear. One reads, "In Canada, windows kill 25 million birds a year." With the fall bird migration underway, a team of students and researchers are calling on the public to join the endeavor to prevent migratory birds from crashing into windows as they journey south. Last week, the Wallace and Biological Sciences buildings were decorated using white vinyl decals and white chalk markers. The team is using the window decorations to break up reflections of what the birds could interpret as a clear sky or vegetation. While it was previously believed tall buildings and office towers were the biggest threat to migrating birds because of office lights that remained on overnight, causing disorientation for birds during their nocturnal migration, new research has found that low and mid-rise buildings and houses were responsible for the bulk of the overall death toll. Kevin Fraser, assistant professor of biology and co-lead on the project, said this gave his team a specific area to focus their work on. The positive is that, well, it's not just that we have to convince companies that own those office towers turn off their lights at night, Fraser said. If most birds are killed by houses in the low-rise buildings we work in, then we have more power to do something that might mitigate that. The Awareness Project is a collaboration between the researchers and student volunteers from the Avian Behavior and Conservation, or the ABC Lab, the Natural Resource Institute, the NRI, and the U of M Science, Technology, Engineering, Art, and Math, STEAM program. Nicola Koper, professor at the U of M Natural Resources Institute and the project's other co-lead, said the goal is to make people aware of how simple it is to help prevent collision-based bird deaths. "We hope to affect not just bird window collisions on campus, but hopefully people will become more aware of the issue and learn more about how they can actually do something and realize that it can really look great," Koper said. "It's not just some ugly graffiti kind of thing." This spring, student volunteers from both the Fraser Lab and the Koper Lab started to conduct surveys of buildings around campus to determine collision hotspots. Part of the goal of the survey is to figure out where the hotspots are, so that then when we go to do more permanent treatments in the future, researchers can go right to where the windows are that are having the biggest impact. Along with the artwork currently adorning high-impact windows on campus, the Gallery of Student Art presented photos of dead birds post-collision in the exhibit CODA, called An Exposé of Bird Window Strike Mortality, which ran until September 21st. This project is simple to recreate on the windows of your own home. Fraser said the best strategy is to have imagery fill most of the window and have it connected in a bigger way so that it looks like the solid object it is. You can use liquid chalk, which is basically a specific kind of marker that you can use to draw outside of the windows, said Koper. You can also buy vinyl decals commercially as well that you can put on your own window. It is not necessary to purchase decals or even chalk to create the artwork. Even simple home products will do. You can even just create certain kinds of hard soap that you draw on the outside of the window, and then you can wash it off again later when the migration season is over, Koper said, because most of the problems are during migration. Winnipeg artist Reva Stone takes up artistic residence in the School of Art for 10 weeks in the fall term. From September 24th to November 30th, she will engage with students individually and in groups through audio studio visits, public talks, classroom visits, and study groups. She will also be continuing work on a project for Fragment, a solo exhibition on February 6th to April 26th, 2019, in the School of Art Gallery. Reva Stone's work is concerned with an examination of the mediation between our bodies and the technologies that are altering how we interact with the world. She engages with a variety of forms of digital technologies to initiate discourses about how biotechnological and robotic practices are impacting upon the very nature of being human. Stone's work has included pieces such as Imaginal Expression, an endlessly mutating responsive 3D environment, Carnival 3.0, an autonomous robot that reflects on the nature of human consciousness, and Portal, iPhone, a work that combines custom software, media, robotics, and mobile phone technology to create a work that appears to be sentient. Recently, she has been developing a series of works that critique how drone technologies are being integrated into society, titled Fragments. Reva Stone has received many awards, including the 2017 Distinguished Alumni Award from the University of Manitoba, 2015 Governor General's Awards in Visual and Media Arts, and an honorable mention from Life 5.0, Art and Artificial Life International Competition, Fundación Telefónica in Madrid, Spain. She has exhibited widely in Canada, the U.S., and Europe, has presented at symposia, and has been published in journals such as Second Nature, the International Journal of Creative Media. The first event planned during Stone's residency is an art-science workshop that also features Rebecca Kamen and is entitled Visualizing Scientific Concepts Through Sculpture. It takes place this Wednesday, September 26, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the St. John's Common Room. In the workshop, the processes of making the invisible visible, reimagining how scientific modeling takes place, bringing scientific modeling back to material exploration, and the distillation of fundamental concepts are explored. All participants will be making models from everyday objects to better communicate scientific ideas. There will be snacks and refreshments available as well. The event is open to 60 students from the Faculty of Science and the School of Art who will work together on projects. All materials will be provided. The workshop is free, but space is limited. And with that, we're going to be taking a quick break, so don't touch that dial. We'll be right back with more of Your Campus Today.
The man himself may be done playing live, but that doesn't mean the musical legacy of Paul Simon won't live on to be performed by others. On Saturday, October 13th, a talented crop of local performers will celebrate Simon at a special show called Still Crazy. Be it jazz, folk, or pop, Simon's songbook is an expansive one, and the night will feature artists drawn from each scene, including David Landreth, Sheena Ratai, Will Bonis, and more, all under the curation of Aaron Shore. Advance tickets for the evening are only $25 plus fees and can be purchased at Into the Music, the West End, and online at Ticketfly.com. Get yours and come celebrate the music of Paul Simon at Still Crazy, Saturday, October 13th at the West End Cultural Center, proudly presented by 101.5 UMFM.
With their critically acclaimed new studio album, I Like Fun, in town, Brooklyn's legendary alt-rockers They Might Be Giants make their way to Winnipeg to play their first show ever at the Garrick on Sunday, October 21st. Performing with an expanded lineup, the show promises all-time classics that span their epic career and spur-the-moment improvisations that will delight even their exhausted road crew. To be direct, this show is not to be missed. Tickets for this newly expanded show are still moving fast and are on sale now for $35 plus fees. Available through Ticketfly and the Winnipeg Folk Festival office. Here all year. Don't miss the legendary They Might Be Giants at the Garrick on October 21st. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Folk Festival and proudly supported by 101.5 UMFM.
A week ago at Investors Group Field, it was the fourth quarter to remember for the Manitoba Bisons as receiver Dylan Schrote scored 14 points in 2 minutes 30 seconds to beat the Alberta Golden Bears. This week, facing a hungry Alberta team once again, the Bisons found more late-game magic, ripping off 14 points in the last 2 minutes 21 seconds to beat Alberta 37-27. The win moves Manitoba to 2-2 on the season, with both wins coming against the Golden Bears in the last 2 weeks. Alberta falls to 0-4 with the loss. It was a crazy game, and I'll be honest, I thought the University of Alberta did more things right than we did, and we were fortunate to win the game, said Bison's head coach Brian Dobie. Coming into the fourth quarter, leading 22-13, the Bison's quickly found themselves scrambling against the home team. Alberta scored midway through the quarter on a Brad Larnhart touchdown run, getting them within 2 points. Larnhart, starting in place of week 1-3 starter Brad Baker, totaled 243 yards and an interception on 12 for 35, passing in the loss. Quickly on the heels of that play, fourth-year Ben Kobzinski ran a punt return back 50 yards to the house for another score. All of a sudden, it was 27-22 Alberta with 5 minutes 33 seconds left. Alberta wouldn't fold. They didn't quit. And then they responded and started taking over the game. It was their game to win, and we had to find a way to escape, said Dobie. That's when Manitoba dug in for some poise to finish the game. On the following drive, second-year running back Victor St-Pierre Lavoillette up one in the depth chart with Jamal Lyles out. Scampered 42 yards on two carries to get the Bisons into the red zone. From there, DeCatelier connected with Tristan Dice for Dice's second receiving touchdown of the game to give Manitoba the lead back. After a couple Alberta penalties stopped their ensuing drive short, the Bisons put the game on ice. St-Pierre Lavoillette got the ball and took it 51 yards to the house off a jump cut, giving the game its final score 37-27. St-Pierre Lavoillette, a native of Brandon, Manitoba, ended up with an enviable stat line of 133 yards and a touchdown on 10 carries. Also helping in Lyle's absence was Somto Enyandike, who had 46 yards and 11 carries. The two youngsters helped Manitoba to get a season-high 7 yards per carry on the night. After the receiving position, fifth-year Dylan Schrote didn't get into the end zone, but still hit triple digits with 100 yards receiving on 9 catches. A more surprising name in the receiving column was defensive lineman Kent Hicks, who grabbed a 2-yard touchdown in the first half of a Manitoba trick play. At pivot, DeCatelier had an excellent line of 303 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an interception on 32-for-39 passing. We love our quarterback. DeCatelier is the real deal, said Dobie. I think he throws a really good ball and has a really high football IQ, but above all, his compete level is through the roof, and he channeled that in the second half and led our offense. Manitoba also got a great contribution from returner Marcel Arruda-Welch, who continues his hot stretch of play with 114 yards on punt returns and 82 yards on kick returns. Besides another game where their offense was outpaced, Alberta struggled with ill-timed penalties on Friday. While both teams struggled with flags, Manitoba had 14 for 134 yards. Alberta had 14 for 120. The Golden Bears seemed costlier, as 3 fourth-quarter flags either stalled their own drives or continued Manitoba's. Bison football now looks forward to the next weekend as they take on the Regina Rams in their annual homecoming game on Saturday, September 29th at 2 p.m. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster for $17.50, while U of M students and fans 17 and under get in for free. Meanwhile, in the Bison soccer action, the home squad split a pair of weekend games, besting Lethbridge on Saturday before going down in defeat to Calgary on Sunday. Amanda Wong scored 3 minutes into the game to kick off an eventual 4-1 win for the Manitoba Bisons over the Lethbridge Pronghorns on Saturday, September 22nd at the West Turf Fields U of M campus. In the early going, Lethbridge goalkeeper Chelsea Galbraith opened the door for the Bisons to take the early lead by fouling inside the box. Amanda Wong capitalized on the penalty kick, her second in as many games, putting the ball past Galbraith just 3 minutes, 3 seconds into the match. The Bisons continued to control possession of the ball and dictate the pace of the game throughout the first half. At 11 minutes, 47 seconds in, Nicole Davis was able to convert on a cross from Wong and put Manitoba up 2-0. Fighting consistent cold and rainy conditions with the temperature peaking at just 6 degrees, the Bisons battled the elements to finish the half with a 2-0 lead. When asked how the weather affected her team, head coach on the Bisons, Vanessa Martinez Lagunas, said she told the team, "No excuses, the rain only makes us stronger." And she is happy with how her team battled. On the second half, Alana Shaw opened up the scoring with Bison's third goal by coming out of a scramble following a corner kick and putting it past the Pronghorns' goalkeeper. The Pronghorns, however, did not back down and control the ball far more than they did in the first half. Lethbridge eventually found the back of the net, their first goal of the season, as Haley Waterhouse found the ball in a scramble and put the Pronghorns on the scoreboard. Finally, Bison's midfielder Haley Lavarias managed to add a fourth goal in the 71-minute mark to seal the fate of the game. On Sunday, an early goal by the Calgary Dinos would end up being the game winner, as the Manitoba Bisons took their second loss of the year in a close 1-0 game at the West Turf Field U of M campus. Bison goalkeeper Madison Wilford and Dinos goalkeeper Lauren Houghton traded crucial saves in the first 5 minutes of the game in what looked to be a well-contested game between both sides. It wasn't much longer until Dinos forwarded Madison Fritz put the ball on the bottom right corner of the Bisons' net to take control of the game. Calgary came out of an aggressive and offensive end, controlling the ball for most of the first half, but Wilford and the Manitoba defense managed to hold them to just one goal. Head coach of the Bisons, Vanessa Martinez Lagunas, said that the play of Wilford helped bring more momentum and pressure into the second half. Wilford would finish with 6 saves on 7 shots on goal. The Bisons came back in the second half playing with a better planned attack that allowed them to put more offensive pressure on a solid Dinos defense. Bisons forwards Nicole Davis and Bruna Mavigne were able to create chances late in the game, but unfortunately couldn't convert to even the score. Leading the way for Manitoba in shots was forward Haley Levarias. Head coach of the Calgary Dinos, Troy Flannery, said that his team's success was due to a balanced and consistent game all the way through. The Dinos would walk away from this weekend with 6 out of the possible 6 points, beating both the Winnipeg Westmen and the Bisons. When asked what the team needs to improve on for the next match, Martinez Lagunas said, "Definitely better finishing. We had a lot of chances at the beginning of the game that we couldn't capitalize on that hurt us in the end. Still, she is happy leaving the weekend with 3 points and is excited to see how her team rebounds in the next match." With the loss, Manitoba falls to 2-2-2 on the season, while Calgary improves to 5-1-0. Manitoba will look to bounce back again against the Mount Royal Cougars next Saturday, September 29th, on the road. Homecoming is a time-honored tradition where the University of Manitoba alumna, faculty, students, and community members celebrate how their U of M experience shaped their lives. This year, Homecoming runs from September 24th to 30th, 2018. The week-long celebration features more than 25 faculty, college, and reunion events, providing opportunities for the U of M alumni to return to campus, reconnect with friends, reminisce about their time at the U of M, and discover the transformative change underway at their alma mater. This year, we are thrilled to introduce the Bison Ball, a new event for alumni and friends 35 and under on Friday, September 28th. Also, don't miss your chance to cheer on the Bisons at the homecoming football game on Saturday, September 29th. The Brown and Gold Brunch celebrating outstanding graduates Marilyn and Monty Hall is on Sunday, September 30th. It's the perfect opportunity to reminisce and reconnect as we pay tribute to Monty Hall, one of our most beloved alumni. As part of Indigenous Homecoming, come celebrate the 10th anniversary of Migaziagamik, Bald Eagle Lodge, on Wednesday, September 26th. The event will feature speakers, tours, entertainment, and Métis Chivalry celebration with food and more. Everyone is welcome. We're also thrilled to host the public grand opening of the Marilyn and Monty Hall retrospective exhibit on Sunday, September 30th, 2018. It's open to all with pre-admission and popcorn. Click here for complete details on this exciting event. You can register for all events online. And that does it for us here on Your Campus Today. We're going to be closing our show with a track from the latest Jennifer Castle record, Angels of Death. This is Rose Waterfalls. Thanks for listening, friends, and have an excellent day, Bisons. We're back on Wednesday with all the campus news that's fit for your ears. I've been me, you've been you. My name is David Dufain, and this has been Your Campus Today.
Living with a song inside your heart, living with the muses all around me, waking up to soothe them in the dark. The muses leave me while I make my coffee. Don't come watching in the back. And muses, if you ever catch me in the news.
Your Campus Today is a collaborative production between UM Today, the Manitoban, the Department of Student Life, and this station, UMFM 101.5. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have a story you'd like us to feature or want to send in feedback, please email us at campustoday@umfm.com.